We didn't dive right into a small group. We knew we wanted to get into a small group. And so shortly after we started, they started talking about getting connected with a group and the upcoming group weekend. And so that Sunday, during the Connection Sunday, we found Ann and said, you know, we're looking for a family group. We want to introduce our kids to other adults that are in the church and kind of make what seems like a big place a little bit smaller.
Like boards out talking about all the groups that were available, and we walked around and we knew we wanted a family group. We have four boys, and so we wanted something we could all do together. And it looked like a lot of the groups had younger kids, so we walked over to Ann and said, you know, we have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and twin 8-year-olds, and we're hoping to get into a family group. And she said a lot of them did have younger kids, and she wasn't sure, but maybe there were other people that had kids our age that maybe would want to start a group. So we were like, well, here's our information, and let us know. And if we have to have it at our house, we'll do that, because we were really excited about connecting.
The reason we wanted to start a small group was, in our last church, we always led small groups, and we really enjoyed it. And we had took a couple years off because of just things going on in our life and things like that.
So I'm like, well, if we could just find people who wanted to have a group at their house, don't want to lead a group, then we could lead the group, and then it would just be the best of both things. But we're like, is that even going to happen? So it was just like one day we just saw Anne, and I said, you know, we really would want to do this, but we just didn't really know how to make this work out.
Anne reached out by email and said, hey, you're never going to believe this. Right after you guys filled out your information, two more couples came and said, you know, we're looking for a family group with similar age kids that you have and looking to do the same thing. Would you be interested in that? They're looking for a place to host. And we said, we'd love to.
Our first couple of meetings have been awesome. Just planning, get to know them a little bit, getting to know their kids a little bit, them getting to know our kid a little bit. We've been getting together on Fridays, every other Friday, just enjoying each other, just talking about, you know, where we'd like to see the group go and the dynamics of the group and things like that.
So it's been nice because we got to know one another just very informally, asking questions, spending some time just hearing each other's stories and talking about what we're hoping to accomplish as a group. And then, of course, having our kids get to know other kids in our home and showing off their toys and games and whatever, and just kind of having it all happening around us.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, it's just one of those things where you kind of like you've met somebody you've known for a long time already. You know, just, you know, having kids in the same age range, a lot of the same things going on in life, you kind of can connect and talk about, you know, what's going on in your life, what are we dealing with, what are you dealing with, and just kind of feels like we've already known them for a while, and it just kind of really gelled together really, really easily. So we're excited about how it's going to go from here.
And one of the things that we were talking about, hoping that it's a place where we're connecting. So if something were to happen, we have one another that we can call and say, this came up and we really need your prayers, or how can we support you because we know you're going through this issue. We're hoping that some other people with families in that in-between stage, so they don't have little babies and they don't want to be by themselves, they'll find a safe place in our home as well and be able to build that long-term connection.
Our older children, we have an eighth grader and a high schooler. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking moving in the middle of that age to a new place and new church and those things. And so just being able for our middle schooler to try the bridge out on Sunday and know somebody there, to like, hey, I'll show you where to go, where to sign in, those kind of things. And then just to see his face afterwards coming back of not feeling stressed out because mom and dad just dropped me off with a new group of people, but come back super excited and saying he really enjoyed it. And so, and that was being able to go with their daughter Abby just to show them around, and so that's really awesome.
I think as a Christian, I think you need that encouragement at times. You can be an encourager and you can also be encouraged, because we all have peaks and valleys, and when we're in that valley we need help, and when we need peaks we need to share that, we need to praise them. So I just think everyone should be in a community of believers that they can lift up or be lifted up.
Well, good morning. It's great to be in worship with you today, and I love those stories of finding connection and finding connection for the purpose of growing. And here at Trinity Church, we do believe that life is better together. Community and small groups are designed to cause us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And so I know for me, the greatest amount of growth that I've done, it's been because I've been connected to small groups, to other individuals. The group that I'm in now, the men and women in that group have helped me to grow in some very significant ways in my life. And so I'm very, very grateful for that group of individuals. And so if you're not a part of a small group, if you're not connected in community at all, just would continue to encourage you to get connected to a group so that you can continue your growth in Jesus. For those of you who are brand new to Trinity Church, and for those of you who are brand new to watching us online, we have been in a series called In Your Feelings, or In My Feelings. And it's really based on the book, the best-selling book by Peter Scazzaro, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. The whole premise of Peter Scazzaro's book itself is spiritual maturity and emotional maturity are inseparable. The two go hand in hand. And we try to advance that kind of thought as we've looked at scripture, that God wants us to grow not only in Bible knowledge, but God wants us to also grow emotionally, how we connect with one another and how our family or our family of origin has actually has an impact on how we relate to God and how we relate to one another. Now, Blake talked about last week is knowing yourself to be able to know God. So we just so believe that these two are connected. This past week, we launched EHS, or Emotionally Healthy Spirituality class, and the response was absolutely overwhelming. We actually, 162, 163, 164, we packed it out plus overflow, and now we're moving it to the children's wing, room 217 and 218, because the response was so, we had such a great response, and that first night was really, really good, and we're looking to go further in our study and our relationship with God. And so that's where we are in this series. So one of the things I want to do, at least to start, I want you to take out your phones, and we're going to do a Mentimeter question, and you're going to see the question on the screen. That is, how long have you been following Jesus? Again, if for those of you who don't have Mentimeter downloaded, you can go to the App Store, go to Mentimeter, and it will. You can download the app. If you already have, if you've not done the app, you can go to the site itself, menti.com, and you can actually do it from the site. And here it is. You can put in the code 756614 and answer this question: how long have you been following Jesus? Have you been following Jesus, when I say 0 to 2, that is, you are brand new. You are brand new Christian. 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 3 to 5 years, you've been following Jesus 3 to 5 years. And then 6 to 10 years, if you've been following Jesus that long, that is, you surrender your life to Jesus, and these are the number of years you've been following Jesus. And then finally, 11 plus years, if you've been following Jesus 11 plus years, then click that. And then if you're here today and you say, you know something, I've not even started following Jesus yet. I'm still checking him out. I'm still trying to figure out. We had 8% in the last service who were honest enough to say, you know something, I don't follow Jesus. And I'm either, they didn't say this, but I'm either here because a friend invited me and I'm just here, but I've not yet surrendered my life to Jesus. And so you can put that. And this is important as we get ready to launch into the message today. So, okay, we have 4%, 0 to 2 years, 7%, 3 to 5, 6 to 10, 10%. Wow, 76%, 11 or more years following Jesus. And then there's at least 3% in the room right now that have not begun following Jesus at this point. So thank you for your transparency. The reason why this is important when we look at this is if we are not aware, we might forget that following Jesus is a marathon and not a sprint. Amen. We might forget that following Jesus is a journey that has a destination ultimately when we die or Jesus comes back first. That is the ultimate destination where we get to spend eternity with him. So there are no vacations. There are no, like I am no longer, when I say no longer following Jesus, you never arrive to the journey, but we grow and grow and grow more in our relationship with Jesus. So I'm in your notes now. The very first point is this. The Christian faith is a journey and can be described as stages. It's a journey, and there are stages to our faith in Jesus. Now, if we don't know that, if we're not aware of that, we might not know where we are in the journey. And so Janet Hagberg, as well as Robert Gulick, scholar and Christian education, they gave us, they're very helpful here in their book called The Critical Journey. And The Critical Journey is about really showing us the stages of our faith. And so the first stage is when it's in your notes as well, in your bulletin. The first stage is when you and I become aware of our need for God. It is the awareness that I am a sinner. It's the awareness that God loves me. It is the awareness that God has provided a way for me to have a relationship with him, and that is through his son. And the moment I surrender my life to Jesus, the moment you surrender your life to Jesus, you and I enter the journey. We enter the journey of following Jesus. You can't follow Jesus without going through Jesus. So Jesus is the beginning of our journey. So when you surrender your life and repent of your sins, that is stage number one. Stage number one is so exciting because your eyes are open to a new reality. Your eyes are open to that God loves you. Your eyes are open that, wow, I was created to have a relationship with God. During this stage, when I first became a believer at 13, I would think a prayer and God would answer it without me even verbalizing the prayer. And it's like, wow, this is so amazing. During this stage, I would read the Bible, and it was like the words were jumping off the page. My eyes were so opened. I would hear my favorite song, my jam, if you will, and it's like I would just start bawling, like crying. Some of you know what I'm talking about, or maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like you hear this song, and it's like, God really loves me. And then you're crying like every 5 minutes and people don't want to be around you anymore because you are an emotional basket case, but they don't know that you've experienced the grace of God in a deep, deep way. And this whole new world and reality has opened up to you. That's stage one. And so stage one, what happens in stage one, there is a deep desire to learn, which moves us to stage two. Stages build on one another. Stage two is when you and I are voracious learners. We want to learn as much as we can about how to pray, how to memorize scripture, how to read the Bible. Should I go to church on Wednesday? Should I go to church every day? Because this is kind of the mode that you're in. And should, you know, how do I learn how to be a Christian? So this is the stage where you and I actually attach ourselves to someone who will lead us. That's the reason during this stage you have teachers, students and students who say, or brand new Christians who say, like they hang on every word that the teacher says. because they're learning so much during this phase. This is the reason why Campus Crusade and Campus Crusade InterVarsity, as well as the Navigators, are so, they do such a good job taking brand new Christians and grounding them in their faith. Significant. Some of you are at that stage right now. Some of you are brand new Christians, and you are just like, give me more. I want to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. So stage two leads to stage three. They build on each other. Stage three is when all that you have learned, now you want to be able to give back. You want to be able to give away. You want to serve. You find out what your spiritual gift is, and now you want to serve. You find yourself signing up for everything. Everything that Trinity puts out, you sign up for everything. Like, I want to pour coffee. Okay, sign me up. You know, I want to work in a children's mess. Sign me up. And because you are feeling this sense of, I want to give something back. I can't sing, but put me on the worship team. I'll do it. Sign me up for a small group leader. I'll do it. And this is where you serve. And this is the productive life. This is the active life. This is where you and I learn how to serve other people. Serve God and serve other people. But something happens during this stage. Something happens during this stage that God wants to take us deeper. So during this stage, we become overzealous, and in our overzealousness, we get weary in well-doing. Like, I'm tired. Like, I've served everywhere in every capacity. You know something? I'm taking a vacation. I'm tired. Let the young people do it. That's kind of the way it is, right? Like, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm just going to sit now, and I'm going to take in more. We become self-centered during this stage. Not only self-centered, but life and service becomes a performance. How did I do? Did I do well? Did I do okay? And it becomes more of a performance as coming from a place of deep, deep conviction and love for God. Another thing that happens during this stage is a loss of certainty. And part of the reason why there's a loss of certainty during this time, because life hits us. There's a personal and faith crisis during this time, or there are periods of faith, a faith crisis. And then we start saying, maybe my faith in Jesus doesn't work. You mean to tell me all the stuff that I've learned, all the Bible learning, all of the serving, and it feels as if God has abandoned me, and all that I've believed in, it does not work. When it bumps up against life, when it bumps up against cancer, when it bumps up against rejection and loss of a job, it feels like I pray, but God doesn't hear me. I read, and it seems like the words are like foreign to me. I sing now, and there is no feeling, good feelings about God. And it feels like I'm going through the motions. So at stage three, at the end of stage three, what God is doing at this point, he wants us to go deeper now. He is trying to get at our shallow and superficial faith. And that's where he brings us to the wall. He brings us to the wall, or the wall starts moving us inward to find out what's really inside of us as followers of Jesus. And it is at this place where it is a very, very painful, painful time. So let me give you the definition of what the wall is, or as John of the Cross says, the dark night of the soul. The wall is the painful experience that followers of Jesus endure as they seek to grow in spiritual maturity and closeness with God. So the wall takes us on an inward journey to find out what's inside. And it is a painful time. Now, I need to say this, is that the wall is different than trials. But trials take us to the wall. Trials bring us to the wall. Sickness brings us to the wall. Divorce brings us to the wall. A wayward or rebellious child brings us to the wall. A betrayal of a friend brings us to the wall. A death of a friend or a loved one brings us to the wall. It is a painful moment as we seek to grow in God. What God is doing here during this time, he is trying to break us. Here it is. He is trying to break us of all of the good feelings that we once had, because what he is saying is you cannot live off sugar. You cannot live off candy. Now God says, my presence is kind of like that. You have good feelings about me, and God says, whoa, you feel so close to God. And what God is saying in this moment here is that I am trying to get you to love me for me and not because of what I can do for you. This can be painful. Now, I need to say this. During this stage, this is so critical for us to understand, because we don't talk about this during, we don't talk about the wall, we don't talk about these kinds of things. This is where most people leave the church. Why? Because we've not created space to actually talk about it. We've not actually created space to say, you know, I'm not feeling close to God. What we have a tendency to do is, if a person comes to us and say, I'm not feeling close to God, what we have a tendency to do is say, pray about it.
Yeah.
Or read another book. Or you need another playlist. A playlist to get you in your feelings, right? The wall can be painful, and it's filled with questions. These are the kind of words that describe the wall, wilderness. Anybody feels that way right now? Dryness in your relationship with God. How about it feels wintry? It feels cold. Just feels like God is cold right now. Like Bible reading is cold right now. Worship is cold right now. How about desert? Feels like a desert. Or how about a spiritual wasteland? If you've ever been to Israel, and I hope many of you get an opportunity to go. One of the most eerie places that I've been, and for those who've been to Israel, you can attest to this, is the Dead Sea. There's nothing living. There are no birds, there are no leaves, there are no fish, literally everything. It is an ominous, dark place. And sometimes I think our relationship with God feels that way. It feels like there's an absence of the good feelings about God. And what I mean by that is we know that God exists, but every now and then God reveals himself and he shows us that he exists. And we feel good about that. It's like, whoa, God, you answered my prayer. God, you are near. I know that people in this room, you have felt that, where you felt like you were alone and you prayed and it felt like God came near and enveloped you and hugged you and showed you that I am here. I hear your prayer. Those things go away. It's like, whoa. And then now you begin to feel that, has God abandoned me? Well, my friends, welcome to the wall. This is not one of those messages that like, wow, yay, praise Jesus kind of thing. It's like, no, it's like the wall is painful. And yet, the wall is crucial for us to grow deeper in our relationship with God. The wall is crucial for us to get away from the shallowness in our relationship with Jesus. The wall is crucial if we are to experience God in new and fresh ways. When my father died, that was one of the first walls I experienced. His death led me to the wall, and I felt nothing. I felt nothing from God. I prayed. Now, I'm a pastor, and I'm about to plant a church, and yet I felt nothing from God. I would read, and it felt like I was reading a foreign language. I would pray, and it felt like my prayers kind of just went to the ceiling, and that was it. And yet, I went through the motions. I went through the motions of, we got to plant this church. We got to get this off the ground. And I had hit the wall. It felt like God had abandoned me. And I would imagine some people in this room, you feel the same way. And it felt like I've done everything that you've asked me to do, God. I've knocked down every bottle at the amusement park, and I want the big bear on the top. And it felt like after I knocked down all of the bottles, the guy kind of gives me a little Winnie the Pooh kind of bear. Have you ever felt that way, where you did everything that God has wanted you to do? You have served, you have prayed, you have given, you have done everything that He has required. And now you come to a place in your life where you don't feel Him. You are not, it feels like He's abandoned, like He has left you to live on your own. My friends, welcome to the wall. But the wall is there for us to grow through the wall, not just to get through the wall. It is there to raise something inside of us. And here's the point. We don't go through the wall, but we grow through the wall. Amen. Amen. So how do we do that? The first thing, and if you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. And we're going to look at how David handled the wall. How David handled the wall. Psalm 13. And the first thing that you and I must do, should do, is open our hearts to God. Instead of closing our hearts to God, instead of saying, God, you have abandoned me, this is an opportunity. The wall is an occasion for us to open our hearts to God. And listen to the verse. Listen to the verse. I want you to feel the language of David. How long, O Lord? Some of you could have prayed this prayer. Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? In other words, how long will I wrestle with my doubts and my thoughts about you, God, in my own soul? And have sorrow in my heart all the day. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Notice that he uses how long four times in two verses. What God is wanting to do in David's life, he's ready for David to move forward and grow some more. So what does God do? God cycles a wall or a dark night of the soul into his life to drive David to his knees, to open up his heart and show God his real self. This is a real prayer here. This is not sanctimonious. This is not a facade. This is not spiritualized, sanitized prayer. David is struggling with God right now, and he is saying, how long will you forget me? It feels like you've abandoned me. I don't have the good feelings that I once had about you. And what David is doing here, David is presenting his authentic self before God. That's what the wall is designed to do. The wall is designed to bring out the junk in our hearts so that we might present ourselves in truth to God. Nobody ever taught me how to pray this way. Yeah. Everybody who taught me how to pray, they say, sanitize your prayers before you give them to God. As if God is not strong enough to handle my stuff. As if God is not strong enough to handle my plaintive moans, and God is not as if God is not strong enough to handle my complaints and my laments. This is a lament psalm where David is lamenting before God. God, you're not there. But what the wall does, it finally makes us get real with God. I bet there are some people in this room, like me, You had never, ever prayed a lament before God. You had never, ever complained because you've been taught, like, God is good and he is good. Please hear me when I say this. It's not being irreverent. God is absolutely good. God is holy, absolutely holy. But you and I are human beings who have real emotions and feelings, and we ought to present those to God in prayer. This is for some, this is foreign and new. That God, I'm struggling right now. I feel rejected and abandoned. Now, again, we don't know the circumstances why David wrote this, but we do know that he's going through a sense of anguish. He is going through a sense of a pain and ache. And he opens up his heart to God. Opens up his heart to God. Now, I really want you to understand, this is straight up, raw, uncut, no chaser kind of language he gives to God. And if you go through the Psalms, you look at the lament Psalms, it's even worse than, not worse, but it's even more raw than what we're seeing now. So I need to say this, and for us to keep this in mind, that David is protesting and lamenting in the context of relationship. He is doing this in the context of a close relationship with God. It's kind of like you have a friend. I know everybody needs a friend where you can unload on that friend and you can get very, very close. I mean, you can share your heart, your mind, and you get angry. And that friend at the end of the day says, hey, we're going out to dinner, right? That we still love each other, right? This is exactly what God is after. God says, you can give me all your stuff. And David does it in the context of relationship. God is trying to unearth the junk in David's life. Now, again, I don't know if you've ever prayed that kind of prayer, but we're going to give you an opportunity to do that now. The worship team is going to, they're going to do this song called Run to the Father. And this is an opportunity for you to present your raw, authentic self to God. Maybe you're at the wall right now and you need to tell God, life hasn't turned out the way I thought. And it feels like you have failed me. It feels like you have abandoned me. God, I've done everything you wanted me to do. I've tithed and I've served and I've given and I've read and I've served as a Sunday school teacher. I've served as in VBS and it feels like you have abandoned me. I am in stage 3, moving. I am at the wall and it feels like my hands are empty. You gotta feel like saying, God, where's my big bear? Like I knocked down all the bottles. I shot down all the ducks. Where is it? God says, maybe you're at the wall and I want to do something more. So you get an opportunity right now to run to the Father. So what you can do is you have in your bulletin a little card. With the iceberg, the little bitty top of the mountain is the top of the iceberg, and the large piece of ice underneath the water is the large part of the iceberg. So you can write either around that, or you can write on the back your lament to God, your honest, authentic prayer to God. Now, some of you might be there. Some of you say, listen, Marvin, I'm not there. That's fine. That's cool. Write down another prayer, a prayer of gratitude for maybe God coming near to you during that time at the wall. So write that down, and as you process that, and as the worship team leads us, I want you to hear these words, that the Father is waiting for you, that the Father is present, that you can come to him again and again and again and again. This is what it's like to be at the wall, but we got a little bit more to see what's on the other side of the wall just in a little bit. But let's process this together as the worship team leads us. Thank you.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see you now. I'm laying you down. I know that I need you. I run to the Father.
We have a Father who invites us to run to Him with all that we have. So the second move to help us grow through the wall is surrender my maps to God. Surrender my maps to God. Listen to the text. It says, consider David says, consider and answer me. Light up my eyes, he's talking to God, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Surrender my maps to God. Well, Marvin, what are you talking about? Well, consider is pay attention to me, God. Please notice me. Notice my feelings. Notice where I am right now, God. Answer me is, God, help me. So a person doesn't really cry for help until they get to the end of themselves. Yeah. And then he says, light up my eyes. And the Hebraic expression here is, God, give me your perspective, your wisdom about life and about where I am right now. So what David is doing, David is releasing his personal, intellectual, and emotional and spiritual maps. He is saying at this point, I've tried my way, God. I've tried to get around the wall. I've tried to go under the wall. I've tried to go over the wall, and it didn't work. And now David is finally dropping to his knees and opening his hands and releasing his own GPS, his own map about how to live life and how to handle these circumstances. And he says, God, now you have broken me. Now I am ready to pay attention to how you want to lead my life. I know when I've tried to lead my own life, I've failed. And David is saying, my plan doesn't work. And so now, God, I'm ready for your wisdom on how to live life. Now, this is very significant. Let me give you a couple of verses and tell you why this is significant. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And the whole passage is about God taking Israel into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And he took them into the wilderness because God is the one who brings us to the wall. He took them into the wilderness to humble them. He took them into the wilderness so that they might know what was in their hearts. This is what it says. Drop down to verse number 2. It says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. What God is after here, God is after humility and to help us know what's in our hearts. The other thing, and I'm going to tell you why this is significant. This is John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Here's the reason why this is important. God wants to break us of our own maps. And God allows us to hit the wall to get rid of our vices, our weaknesses, and failures. But he also does it to get rid of our virtues. So wait a minute. I thought God wants these good things in us. Here's what I'm talking about. He wants to get rid of virtues that have been cultivated and fortified in human strength and not by the power of the Spirit. You see, I've gone to school like many of you have. And if you ask me a question, I can give you my wisdom off the top of my head. And it might sound really good. Without praying about it. And I've done that. You ask me some financial advice, I can give you some financial advice based on what I've learned in schools. But did I pray about it? No, I didn't pray about it. If you would come to me for marital advice, I've been married 25 years and I have failed every possible way you can possibly think. And I've learned a lot of wisdom from that. And I can give you some wisdom off the top of my head. And it might work. I'm not saying that God won't use it. It might work. But the reality is there are times where we attempt to live our lives based on wisdom, based on human wisdom, and not wisdom from the Spirit of God. That God may want to say, I've placed bellies of living water inside of you. And I want you, when someone asks you something, I want you to stop in the moment and I want you to ask me, what is it that I want to say to that couple so that the couple is not getting Marvin's wisdom, but the couple is getting wisdom from the Spirit of God. So here it is that I can give you information. And the elders can give you information and Blake can give you information, but we don't want Trinity to be based on human wisdom. We want the life of Trinity to be based on wisdom from the Spirit of God. It is at this point where we hit the wall and God says, are you tired of hitting your head against the wall? Now will you try it my way? And this is now at this point where we say, here is my white flag. I surrender, God. Notice us. Help us. Give us your perspective. So the way we grow through the wall, we first open our hearts up to God. The wall is designed to open our hearts up to God. The wall is designed to cause us to pry our fingers off our own maps and to receive the map of God through His Word, through His Spirit, in community. And then finally, the wall is designed to help us reaffirm our faith. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So if you're at the wall right now, my advice to you is to stay at the wall. Because the wall is designed to help you deepen your trust in God, deepen my trust in God, deepen my love and my gratitude for the salvation that's been given to me in Jesus. And to help me to go to a place of authentic praise and not just mouthing words, not just reading a couple of verses. So what's on the other side of the wall? Remember I told you the first stage is when you and I become believers. That's the way we enter into the faith. And then the second stage is that's when, man, we're learning and learning and learning and trying to grow, and we're trying to grow in our relationship with Jesus. The third phase is when we give back to others in service to God and service to others. That's the serving aspect. And then God says, I'm going to now strip you of some of those good feelings that you've been kind of moving in your relationship. And he says, I can't let you be a spoiled Christian. You can't live off good feelings. You actually have to have a deep relationship. So I need to take you to the wall. I need to cycle another wall and dark night of the soul in your life so that you might go deeper and deeper and deeper. And now I hear some people say, how many walls do I got to go through? I don't think that's the right question. Yeah. The right question is, how deeply does God want me to grow? And then the fourth phase is the wall, and the wall and the inward journey goes together. And then stage five is when you emerge from the wall, you now have something deep to give other people. You actually are now serving God from the depth of your love for him and grace that he's poured over your life. It's no longer going through the motions. It's no longer mouthing words. It's no longer like, yeah, I'm just going to show up because that's the thing to do. It's no, now you want to be with God. You want to be with God's people. And out of that wall experience is an authentic, growing, vibrant relationship with God. And then finally, the sixth stage is when all that we do. Again, I'm saying this is not, it's painful, it's not perfect, but this final stage is all that we do now flows from a place of love and grace that God has given. We get an opportunity to reaffirm our faith at the wall and for God to change us deeply. And I don't know about you, I just don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to show up on the weekend and just say, yep, there's another service we've gone to. But I'm talking about God changing us deeply. Amen. And for us to stay there until he gets us on the other side. So Ben and Andrea, they're gonna share. Ben is gonna share something. I'm not gonna do justice to it, so I'm not gonna try to set it up. I'm gonna let Ben set it up. But I want you to know there's life and love and grace and mercy on the other side of the wall. That's where you are right now. I want you to listen to how Ben sets this up, but also I want you to hear what God did in his life.
Marvin. So the way we're going to end our time is actually through a song that I wrote. And I wish I could say that the song that we're about to present in worship to him was born out of high achievement or was born out of a great victory. Actually, it's quite the opposite. The song that we're about to share was actually written out of insecurity and embarrassment. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but all the places that I'm called to lead, right? That's feels like it's not allowed. I was hitting a wall. I just came to a place of hitting the wall. I just remember 2 weeks ago, I was in my basement, and I just felt like I just couldn't get anything right. And parenting, right? I just felt like, I get so many things wrong. I should have it figured out by now. Even in my small business, man, I was like, I've been doing this for 15 years. I should get so many more things right. I feel like I just get so many things wrong, God. I just feel like I'm hitting the wall. Even here at Trinity, man, it feels like so many things that it's just met with indifference and criticism. I just get so many things wrong. And I was just like, I just hit the wall. I just felt that wintry season of like, man, I should just quit it all, right? Like, this is being vulnerable and real. This is what the wall felt like. And it almost doubled down because it almost felt like, Ben, you're a leader in all these arenas. You should get it together. And instead of agreeing with that lie to say the right answer and pretend like I can do the right thing, it was just me and God and my keyboard in the basement, and I worshiped him. I reaffirmed my faith in God. He reminded me of Psalm 139, where it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And in that moment, it sounded great, but it didn't feel true. I actually doubted that. But just over and over, I would just reaffirm my faith in him and just pray those raw and honest prayers to him. And this is what he responded with. Ben, you're thought of well, and you're thought of often. And as you read a little bit farther down into Psalm 139, it says this, how precious to me are your thoughts, God, how vast the sum of them. Were I to count them up, they'd outnumber the grains of sand. And it's true, I'm thought of well, and I'm thought of often by our God, and so are you. So I've recognized this even through the wall, to grow through the wall, to stay there, and instead of agreeing with the offers from the enemy, instead of beating myself up for lies that he's trying to offer me, is to ask this question of like, but what do you say, God? What do you say about me? And he says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and he says that I'm thought of well and thought of often. So that's what this song is. This song isn't born out of some awesome time where I said, I'm going to write a song, and it's going to be great, and we're all going to sing it. It's born out of like, man, I wish I didn't have to present a song that's born out of insecurity and embarrassment. But because of his goodness and of his kindness and his faithfulness, here it is.
Thank you. Yes, you may. Let's get started.
So, Ben, thank you for staying at the wall, man. Thank you for staying at the wall and not leaving God and going through the motions, but to be able to be vulnerable, even in this space, for us to talk about stuff that we normally don't talk about, and for you to stay there and emerge on the other side with a deeper depth of your love for God and your love for his people. And so thank you. Thank you so much. It was so good. I tripped like coming up the stairs. So thank you. And that's my prayer. That's the elders' prayer. That's every leaders of this church. You can stand. You can all stand. That you would not leave God. Stay with Jesus during the dark times. During the dark night of the soul, during the wall, stay with Jesus. Because life on the other side of the wall is so, so good. Where there's a freedom. There's a freedom. It's you're not actually living for other people anymore. You're living for God. And there is a freedom to that that I cannot even begin to explain. Now, I can't promise you on the other side of the wall you'll come out with a song like this. But I can promise on the other side of the wall where God takes you deeper, you will be a blessing to the world. You will be a blessing to your family, and you will be a blessing to other followers of Jesus. And if you're here, you're part of that 3%, 4% who you've not started following Jesus yet. Man, this is, I want to let you know that Jesus absolutely loves you. And if you want to know a little bit more about what it means to follow Jesus, not only will we be down here to answer questions that you might have, but we're just gonna keep prodding you, keep moving toward Jesus, because Jesus is moving toward you. Let me pray for us. So God, the wall is painful, and yet the wall is all about growing us so that we might have a deeper relationship with you. We don't like it, and yet it's necessary for us. So God, forgive us for the shallowness, superficiality, even not even having a desire to go deeper with you. And so we just simply ask that if you need to cycle a wall in our lives every now and then to take us deeper with you, help us not to resist. Because deep down inside, we were created to love you, created to be in relationship with you. And we pray that you would help us to know that, but to also work on our desire to desire you. Pray your blessing over your people here at Trinity Church. Pray your blessing over the leaders here, that we would always, always operate based on your wisdom, Jesus, and not our own. Thank you for Ben. Thank you for just an expression of his own vulnerability at the wall and how we were blessed as a result. Thank you. Now bless us with your presence as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.